Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com. Yeah, here we go. We were loaded up today like a big diaper. We got a lot of good stuff to
get to.
Well,
there you go. I just finished lunch a few minutes ago.
I was trying to think of an analogy to say that we've really got a lot going on the show, and I don't know why that popped into my head. I guess it's because I'm walking around now and I'm seeing people with the masks, and I am calling them face diapers in my head. Look at you with the face diaper. To catch your spittle.
It must feel good to have it all moist underneath from all the spittle and the
Barbara
coffee.
Ferrer has to go. Yeah. Has to be carried out. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's one of our subjects today as we really lean in on this one. Sorry. Another one popped in my head.
Jeez.
I have one of those days.
Why are you on a roll?
All right. Well, Newsom doesn't say loaded diaper, but he does say lead in. Honestly, the thing that really blew the lid off of this is the comments by a couple of top L.A. County doctors. They actually don't work for the same department she does. They're in health services. It's a separate. But they held an internal news conference or event where they talked about how it's no big deal at the hospitals. What are we getting worked up over? What's with all the media hype? And instead, there she is. Well, we must take these precautions because we don't know where the pandemic will go next, you know, blah, blah, blah.
You know something? We have to, like, have a paradigm shift here, I think would be the proper term for this. We don't have to respond to everything in the media. We know it's a ridiculous hype machine. I saw the other day a Gallup poll said only 16% of the public has a great deal of trust in the media. So they've really turned off almost everybody.
Right, well, funny you said that, because for the past couple of months, we have ignored the El Segundo Times and its media hype. But now we have a health director who's going to make us put masks back on again to be indoors. I say no. Now we got to talk about it.
Now we got to call it out. I agree with you. But what I'm saying is we take it another step further and collectively ignore her.
Well, we can't, though, because she's got these powers to
what's she gonna
make
do?
Us mask up to go into a store.
Well, no, I think because the store people
will take it seriously.
Well, they should.
A lot of them will.
Especially like
your Whole Foods and stuff.
Well, in Whole Foods, they still wear masks, but they still.
The workers or the people?
Some of both categories, but a higher percentage than you'll see anywhere else by far.
Now, I have seen workers at most places I go to masking, and I think they do that to make the customers, I guess, feel better. But well, I see less than 10% of customers in any business I go into now wearing masks.
Right, right. I'm just saying in Whole Foods, it's a noticeably higher percentage than the rest of the world. The point is, the point I'm trying to make is, all the store owners should dismiss it as well, unless they have a lot of sensitive elderly customers, and you know, it's a good business practice.
Oh, but then some weenie's going to come in and he's going to call corporate. They're not enforcing. The LA County Health Director said we're supposed to wear masks indoors. I'm going to complain. I'm making a formal complaint. It's not safe. Diaper face.
You can't let the we're in a period in this country where the 5% is ruling the other 95%, because the other 95% is constantly intimidated, constantly on defense, constantly on their heels, constantly reacting.
But I got something to say about the 95%. There's a big chunk of them who just go along.
Yeah.
I mean, you act like they're all ready to fight back and they're all ready to ignore.
Oh, no.
No, they just go along. Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to, but the LA County Health Director says that we should mask up. All right. They're not really engaged, is what I'm saying.
Yes,
not
I
really...
understand. It was a provocative.
I'm glad you're amused by me today.
It was a provocative theory I had. What would happen if we just all ignored her? And if we just all ignored the stations that are screaming and yelling
about... Oh, it'd be fantastic.
You know, it's only... The thing is, what I'm saying is, you don't have to go to battle, right? You don't have to bring weapons. You don't have to go on marches, wave signs. You don't have to do any of the stuff that's part of modern protest theater. All you have to do is say, eh, go away.
I know. But the
thing is, I
believe that most people just go along. They're not rebels. They're not. They don't even actually don't hold deep-seated opinions about that. They're probably of the kind that, oh, it's great to go without a mask, but it's not that big a thing. I'll wear a mask. Well,
I know. I love that.
That's a big percentage of people that you mentioned.
Why is it such a big deal? Just do it. Why is it such a big deal?
It could save lives.
It's not asking for very much.
Somebody sent a story in Europe, whatever, one of the health agencies there, is thinking about masking all the time because of the flu. That we should probably do this. And you and I talked about this 2 years ago.
I know.
That these people were going to come out. And now they're and you know, it starts in Europe. Or if somebody over here, like California officials, will go, that's a good idea.
Everything we said 2 years ago is true. Because we understand human nature. Everybody gets annoyed with us because we point out what human nature is. That people have like some utopian ideal of what they think human nature is or ought to be. And we constantly pump their bubble by saying, no, humans suck, and here's what's going to happen. You got all these power freaks in politics and the bureaucracy, like Ferrer, and then you have all these lemmings who go along.
Because they buy whatever they know about it, that Barbara Ferrer actually is some expert. She is not. She's a social worker who has an agenda for equity.
It's one of the
health equity, whatever you want to call it.
We are in the age of the fake expert, where people wave credentials in the air. Oh, she's a doctor. And nobody even questions as to what kind of doctor she is. You know, she's no more a doctor of medicine, you know, than I am a structural engineer.
Than Lucy with peanuts and her little, the doctor is in the table there.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know.
At least Lucy had real patients, though.
And the latest, did you see the latest? They're actually sort of patting themselves on the back, saying, oh, right, this go-around, hospitalizations aren't too bad because we got everybody vaccinated. That's making a big difference.
Great, then enjoy your win. Take your win. You got everybody vaccinated. Congratulations. That means the game is over. That means you won. Go home, have a beer, and leave the rest of us alone. No, I've read the stories. They are focusing on all kinds of micro statistics and oddball categories, and they're inventing new situations. Like, well, we don't have ethnic equity. And it's like there isn't a soul on the planet who keeps track of what percentage of whites, blacks, and Hispanics catch any illness, all right? There's nobody who cares. The only thing I care about is whether I have it or not. As far as everyone else and what color they are and what country their grandparents came from, zero interest. And I'm 99.999% are with me. None of us care. It's just, do I have it? No, I don't have it. It's a good day. Shut
up. The metric is ridiculous. Here is the metric they're using. And this is from the El Segundo Times. L.A., the nation's most populous county, reported 10.5 new coronavirus positive hospitalizations for every 100,000 residents.
Yeah.
That's the metric? The move above 10 pushed L.A. County into the high COVID-19 community level as defined by the dopey CDC and P.
the CDC and P.
P, prevention.
They added
They added prevention, yes. Just like alcohol, tobacco, and firearms added whatever explosives.
ATF and E. Three-letter acronyms are now. I want a fourth letter for my acronym.
20 years from now, there'll be 10 letters.
Yeah, you know what? This must be great at those taxpayer-paid conferences.
10 out of 100,000 residents, and we're worked up and masking everybody up. Yeah. What happens if it gets to 20? Are they going to start closing everything down again and locking us in?
They'll put you.
Is that really where this goes?
They'll put you in those trailers like they do in China. Exactly. They drag you out of your house, throw you.
Well, the Daily Mail read a good story today that apparently COVID cases in New Zealand and Singapore are much higher right now than Australia. The reason they're mentioning this, and this is kind of cherry picking, but Singapore and New Zealand have kept pretty big mask restrictions, whereas Australia loosened them up. So they're trying to make the point, it makes no difference, right? Doesn't matter.
Right. Well, for 3 weeks in Alameda County up north, they had
indoor masking.
And
right.
then a study came out and said, no difference.
Yeah.
They had the
can
same.
Can you send that study to Barbara Ferrer? Yeah,
but she doesn't care. She cares about the power. See, that's the thing. You can't argue with these people anymore. It was like I was, remember, I think Tim mentioned yesterday, he had texted me, Tim Conway, about how the new San Francisco DA fired 15 prosecutors, right? And I said to him, I go, this is what you have to do. You stop arguing with all these people. You just get rid of them. You recall them. You fire them. You ignore them. You do whatever. You vote them out. Just get rid of them. We're not required to debate every nitty with their whack job theory, whether it's a medical theory
really
or social
theory.
That is
really unlikely to happen with Barbara Ferrer. She's not going to be removed, and she can't be voted out. We're stuck with
Well, the supervisors who appointed her.
The supervisors.
Yeah. They could be voted
Four
out.
Four out of five are crazy.
I know. But hey, the public voted for them. Or the public that bothered to vote. Pick them. And the rest of you ninnies, you sit around in your ass staring at your screens. You don't pay attention to anything that matters. And then you wonder why we have such a restrictive state. We have a restrictive state because of the people you voted for. All the other states don't have this. Nobody has this. Okay? Nobody has what California has.
Later on in the show, we'll be talking to one of the organizers behind the change.org petition to remove Barbara Ferrer. We're going to cover it. We're going to talk about it. Fine. Sign the petition. To me, it's like a letter to the editor. It really probably is going to have much effect on anything. They're going to send the petitions to the Board of Supervisors, the same dopey people we just talked about.
Mommy, what's a letter to the editor?
It's powerful. All right. When we come back, you will have a shot at some money. We got the keyword. You got to listen in for that and enter it at the website. Coming up next.
John and Ken, KFI. I just tried to call up a news story. And I got one of those error messages, and it said back-end fetch failed. I'd never seen that before. A back-end
like a dog
fetch.
Fetching a stick?
I don't. A back-end fetch?
That's what it sounds like.
Sounds a little dirty.
Computer move where they have to go fetch something, reach for it.
Go fetch my back end.
It failed. Scratch my back end. Carl DeMaio's coming out after 2:30 from Reform, California. They're coming down to the end here to collect signatures to get this California Taxpayer Protection Act on the ballot. We talked to Carl a few weeks ago about it, and he just wants to give everybody a heads up to get those petitions back because Friday is it. They have to get them all together so they can process them and then get them in to be counted. This would be a statewide ballot initiative, which would make it really tough for them to raise taxes. It's a good one, and we'll talk to Carl about the crunch time coming up after the news at 2:30. Next hour, we are going to talk to a woman who used to be an L.A. County Deputy D.A. She now works for the L.A. County Council. She was attacked by the same man that attacked the Olympic volleyball player, Kim Glass. Same guy, a couple of years earlier, right? He's still out there attacking women.
And there's at least three other women who say they were attacked by him.
Right. Doesn't matter. He keeps getting out quickly. You would think that hitting people with golf clubs and metal poles would put you away for a long time. But no, I don't know. We have to look up the track record of this guy, but it seems like he's out in a year or two chasing more women down.
And the first thing he does is he gets some kind of metal bar or pole, something
heavy. A hammer, too, he used
A
once.
Hammer, yeah. Oh. And whacks him in the head. Nobody puts him away for any length of time.
Doesn't this season qualify for, well, he's not a sexually violent predator, but he's a violent predator.
Oh, I should
Doesn't this qualify
strikes.
To put him in the mental hospital for like 20 years?
Yeah.
They do that with sexually violent predators. I think they still do. Why can't they do that with this creep? All right, well, we'll talk to Irene Lee after the news at 3 o'clock. Like I said, a lot coming today. Well, we were just talking about L.A. County and the health director, Barbara Ferrer. We're not going to say doctor anymore.
No.
That's as much as I'll ignore, Joe.
All right. We're taking away her doctorate.
All right. We'll take away her doctorate.
Because it's not in
medicine. Or her title doctor. Anyway, wanting to reimpose the dopey indoor mask mandate. Now, here is a virus to be a bit concerned about. Of course, all this talk about COVID and monkeypox. Well, here comes Ebola again, but it's not Ebola, it's Marburg. The Marburg virus is from the same family as Ebola, and apparently they've got
That's a nice
some
family.
Cases.
What a family that is.
It's a family tree. The West African country of Ghana has reported a couple of people died already, and I tell you, you get Marburg slash Ebola, there is no vaccine. And there isn't really great treatments, and you can go down fast. The fatality rate, look at this range, 24% to 88%, depending on the virus strain and how well you manage the case. People have been known to survive, but apparently they have to be watched like 24/7 and hydrated constantly. Because basically what happens with these viruses, everything just kind of comes out of you. Diarrhea, vomiting.
Oh.
So all your bodily fluids are flowing their way south, north, east, and west.
It's like Friday Night with Ray.
So you have to constantly stay on top of the patient to make sure that they are hydrated. You know, they have those intravenous things. And that's...
You know what? You die 8 to 9 days after the onset. It's preceded by severe blood loss and hemorrhaging.
Now, you want to hear John Howell?
What?
Marburg is probably transmitted to people from the African fruit bat. It's the bat again. You hate the bats.
I hate bats.
They are
terrifying.
They're a mammal that I just, whatever, they share the ability to really infect us with a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah, they have the viruses, they've got rabies, they've got this Marburg disease.
Yeah, it says here, prolonged exposure from people working in mines and caves that have these bat colonies called Rosettas.
That's...
But now, here's the thing about Marburg I want to say quickly. It's not airborne. Basically, what happens, and this is really awful, but if you're a healthcare worker or a family member and you're trying to help the person that has Marburg or Ebola, you have a good chance of coming into contact with their bodily fluids.
Well, I wouldn't help.
Like you have to change their diaper. And
I'm not doing that.
I didn't say you would do that. Really? If your son or your wife got to send her away.
Let me start if you end up with Marburg. I'm not changing your diaper.
First case is identified in Europe in 1967. There haven't been that many outbreaks. And this is nothing to get excited about because, again, it does not transmit the way COVID does. Mm-hmm. However, man, you don't want it. Remember the big Ebola scare? Was that 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, and that's a similar set of symptoms where you just bleed out of all your orifice.
Everything. You vomit, you have diarrhea, everything just comes out of your body. It's like, and your organs can shut down. Yeah. One guy checked into the hospital, only 26 years old on June 26th and died a day later.
This is why I couldn't be a healthcare worker.
I can't
deal with people's bodily fluids. Especially infected bodily fluids. I can't deal with their blood. I can't deal with
Plus,
their waste products.
Plus, you have no empathy. You have no ability to share the pain of people.
No,
you
I
have
don't. No, I don't.
No.
I would just say,
I'm not sure you've ever held a hand.
I would just say, hey, that's tough.
You've never been there for someone.
No.
When they're going down. Comfort them.
Not
a word in your vocabulary, comfort.
Not if they're infected with Marburg, no.
Well, no.
Or Ebola.
Well, what you do is you wear the big mask and the whole hazmat gear, and it's still.
It's for somebody else.
Usually when these outbreaks happen, there's a lot of healthcare workers and family members who get sick.
As if you're Mr. Warmth.
Oh, good. You finally thought of that. Took a while. Usually you're faster to say that. I admit it. I'm not going to be a healthcare worker either. Not in this lifetime.
No. Don't call us in an emergency medical situation.
No, we will not
the
be John there
to take
care of you.
John and Ken ambulance service is not available.
We're not going to do any kind of hospice care or nothing.
No.
All right, coming up next, Carl DeMaio from Reform California. Their deadline's coming up to get all the petitions back to put on the ballot, a Taxpayer Protection Act. We'll talk about it next.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
What's this? The Moist Line's already coming back in 3 days? Yeah. Messages, please use the iHeartRadio app. A little microphone. That's one way to connect to the Moist Line. You could dial the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We'll be talking to a woman who says she was attacked by the same man that attacked the Olympic volleyball player, Kim Glass. Our guest, Irene Lee, will show up at 3:05. She's pretty worked up about this, and she'll say what happened to her. And maybe because she used to be a deputy DA and now she works for the LA County Council, can explain why a guy like this is on the streets time after time to attack women. Coming up at 3:05.
All right, we're going to talk to Carl DeMaio now from Reform California. He's been on the front lines of all kinds of political battles in the last few years, and he's been on our show many times. And right now he's in the final days. Reform California is in the final days of collecting signatures to get something on the ballot to block further tax increases in California.
Yeah, it's the California Taxpayer Protection Act.
So the deadline's coming. Maybe you haven't heard of this, so he's going to explain it and tell you what needs to be done in a short amount of time. Carl, are you there?
I am here, and we are trying to get all these signatures, as you mentioned. But let me start out first. This is the ballot measure I talked about twice so far on the show, on your show, where it would really give us a fighting chance to stop tax increases. It corrects the corruption that we have in the ballot measure process in California in three ways. Number one, it requires that tax increases must be put to a public vote and must get a two-thirds vote if they earmark in any way. Now, an earmark is basically hostage taking. This is where they say, oh, it's for the roads, like the gas tax, or, oh, it's for the schools, which most of the local measures are school tax hikes, or any other earmark has to be a two-thirds vote. And that's important because just in the past 2 years, the politicians have gotten into a loophole. The California Supreme Court opened a loophole in a decision with Upland, California, to lower the threshold to a simple majority. We want that two-thirds. Second, it requires that when a tax increase appears on the ballot, the ballot title must contain the words tax increase. This is a game changer because, as you know, they lie to people on the ballot. A bunch of politicians get together, they poll test and wordsmith a deceptive ballot title. You don't even know what you're voting on will raise your taxes. This measure will require that transparency on the ballot so voters know what they're voting on. And finally, it tightens the definition of what a fee is versus what a tax is. About one-third of your energy bill in the state of California is, in essence, a tax. This is a way that they are putting new charges on your electricity rates so that all that goes into the hands of the government. We consider that a tax. This initiative would tighten the definition to prevent that. So this is a game changer. Howard Jarvis, Taxpayers Association, Reform California, both partnered on this. We believe it's the most significant tax reform initiative since Prop 218 at least, and perhaps even Prop 13 in 1978.
Well, this is really good stuff, and we're getting close to the deadline. So how many signatures do you need?
We have 1.3 million signatures in hand. We need 75,000 more, so it's going to be real tight. This is sadly, it's going to be as tight as what the George Gascon signature drive looks like. It's just hard to get signatures. And so if anyone has the petition in their hands at home, you have 3 days left to get signatures. But by Friday, close of business, I need you to mail them back to the campaign. Next week, we're going to receive all those petitions back. We're going to process them, and then we will submit them the first week of August. But I do need people to do whatever they can in the next 72 to 96 hours to get signatures and then drop them back in the mail to our campaign on Friday. So if you have a petition, now's the time to finish it up and send it back.
And what's the website where they could get a petition if they haven't done that yet?
They can go online to opposetaxhikes.com, opposetaxhikes.com, and sign up real quick there, and we'll get that stuff out, the copy of the petition out. But literally, tomorrow will be the last day that we send it out to people. So whoever signs up today can get a copy of it at opposetaxhikes.com.
I guess you believe there's a lot of petitions just outstanding out there that people just haven't bothered to send in?
There are. You know, we have sent out more than 30,000 separate packages of petitions. And, you know, some people, they think at the time, oh, this is a great idea, let me get signatures. And then life happens. They get, you know, COVID, or they go on vacation, or, you know, business gets busy. And so what we're really hoping people will do is go to their kitchen counter, pull that packet out, get those signatures in the next 3 days. Even if you can only come up with a 5 or 10 signatures, if everyone did that, we will be able to hit this number. But it's been pretty difficult, guys. Getting this on the ballot, getting a public vote, would be a real game changer for us in California, and would give the good guys, the little guys, a chance to have a fair fight to stop the tax.
Yeah, and I imagine if this appeared on the ballot, it would have a great chance of passing.
Well, guess what? They put a title on this measure that's really bad. Now, it's not catastrophically bad like what they did with the gas tax, but we do need to work to educate people. But if we're not on the ballot, if we don't make it on the ballot, we have no chance at all. But I do believe that we will prevail, because I think people are getting so sick and tired of Latin and Greek being printed on their ballot, because they know that there's a manipulation going on. And it almost feels like intimidating to open up that ballot, because, you know, the titles and summaries are so confusing.
This is for November, if you can get it in there?
This is for November 2024. No, we were not able to get the signatures.
Right.
Yeah, but my view was, even if we can't get it on in 22, let's not, you know, back away from it.
Right.
Let's get it on in 24. Plus, we're sitting on 1,000,003 signatures, and that's quite an accomplishment. We just need these final signatures, because as you're seeing with the George Gascon recall, you can't just say, oh, I've got the million. You need to have the extras so that you can cushion it and, you know, make sure that you qualify with some comfort.
All right, Carl.
All right, Carl. Again, the website is?
OpposeTaxHikes.com. OpposeTaxHikes.com.
All right, Carl DeMaio from Reform California. Thanks for coming on again.
Thanks much.
All right, OpposeTaxHikes.com. Because, you know, it won't be on November's ballot, but it's one of the rare times when you actually get a ballot measure that is really about the taxpayers. Right now, looking at the November ballot, the ones that are standing out are this fight over online gaming. I mean, how does that affect most people?
I don't care.
But it's you're going to be. It's a blizzard of ads already, mm-hmm. And it's still July. And then there's one to raise taxes on the wealthy again for electric cars. How do they do this? Or is it maybe the legislature helps?
The legislature puts
Carl's organization working hard to actually help real taxpayers fight back, and it's a struggle.
Yeah, if you have something like a union sponsor it,
yeah,
it automatically gets on.
They put all the dues money behind it,
yeah.
And the signatures pile up, and they got a lot of organization for this kind of stuff. But again, with the gaming one, you have these big gaming companies
versus
the tribes have a lot of money, too.
Right. They have unlimited amounts of money from running gambling operations, which should give you an idea how stupid gambling is.
Exactly.
Because all these corporations, including the Indian tribes, they've got just billions and billions of dollars in profits, and they have plenty of money to spend to get referendums so that they can have
More billions and billions in profits. Exactly right. It's worth it to them to spend all this money on advertising, because it could really, really give them even bigger dividends.
It's worked really well.
All right, when we come back, a couple of stories about gas and air coming up next.
John and Ken show.
All right, we're going to be talking to a woman who was also attacked by the same man that attacked the Olympic volleyball player. You probably heard that story. She was attacked in downtown L.A. by a man with a pipe. This is what he does. He attacks women with golf clubs, hammers, pipes, whatever he can get his hands on for a weapon. And he's been doing this quite a few times. It's amazing. Still on the streets. One attack on our guest next hour is 2020. But there he was in 2022 attacking the volleyball player. We'll bring this to you right after the news at 3:05 on the John and Ken show. Today, old Joe Biden was supposed to declare a climate emergency, but apparently they've deferred that. I think they were trying to play off the headlines that it's very hot in Europe and thought, oh, you know, people will understand if we declare a climate emergency and I take
climate
actions.
Emergency.
They compare it to when Trump declared a border emergency and started working on the border wall.
Yeah, well, he actually started building a wall, which would stop the migrants. That's useful. I don't know what Biden could build.
He's going to curtail all air travel. You can't fly. It's done. That's it. We're all grounded.
Yeah, okay.
That would be his big move. No, I'm making that up. I don't know what he would do.
Although, if they proposed that, it wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, the original.
Or if they rationed you, maybe, to a certain number of plane trips a year.
This crowd would like to do that as long as they are not affected. They would be exempt themselves.
Well, because they have important official business.
Right, right. They, as government officials, they would exempt
Whereas
their own.
Whereas you just want to go see grandma or something. Yeah. Bah. You want to go to Disney World? Bah.
You know, it's like the COVID situation. It's not about the issue. It's about control. But hysteria causes people to cower and go along. This all ties together with what we were discussing, what you were saying. Most people just go along, right? The best way to get them to go along is to wear them out by scaring them. So you frighten them. You scare them. It's okay. I don't want to hurt the planet. I don't want to get sick or make someone else sick. Okay, it's all for the best. And it's the same playbook. And it works. And you have people terrified that the planet's going to boil over, terrified that everyone's going to catch COVID and die. And I can't believe how many people I've run into who are actually afraid that they were going to kill other people if they went out unprotected.
This brings us to Joe Biden's, what a title, Special Envoy for Climate. This is John Kerry, who, believe it or not, once ran for president.
This is perfect. Yeah, and almost won.
He did. It looked good against Bush in the early returns that year, I remember. But
he was one state short. If Ohio had flipped, he would have won.
I remember you came to work that day and you thought Kerry was going to win. You were like, oh my God, Kerry's going to...
They had big headlines. Remember on the Drudge Report, they were looking at the exit polls. And the exit polls, the network exit polls had said Kerry was going to win. But they were wrong.
What he's been doing now is using his family's private jet to travel around the world talking about climate change. The plane has emitted more than 300 metric tons of carbon dioxide since he took the post in January of last year. It's a Gulfstream GIVSP, 48 trips lasting more than 60 hours, 715,886 pounds, or 325 metric tons of carbon dioxide have been emitted by Kerry on his trips around the world.
And he married an heiress to the Heinz ketchup fortune.
Yeah, she's dead. Teresa Heinz Carey.
Yeah, but it's her money is what he's living off of.
Well, this is what's weird. The jet he's flying in belongs to a charter company, Flying Squirrel LLC. Carey owns more than $1 million stake in the company. Now, wait a minute. If you're the climate envoy, that's really hypocritical to own a big investment in a private jet company? Yeah. Are you out of your mind?
It belonged to his wife's family. And
so what? Sell it. It does not comport with what you're doing.
He's a phony. He's a complete, utter phony. He's like Leonardo DiCaprio. They preach to the dirty, unwashed peasants that you shouldn't fly planes, you shouldn't drive cars, you shouldn't burn gas, you shouldn't use electricity. It's for the dirty people. It's not for a celebrity, a U.S. senator. It's not for that. For people like that, they're special.
Why couldn't he just fly a commercial plane? He'd still get to his destination. Well, because he needs flexibility, so he can just hop on a private plane. And
it's because every human in the world, if you could have access to a private plane over a commercial jet, we would all take the private plane. Because
Of course we would. It's life convenient.
Life is much easier. That's all. He's just like every...
Forget the riffraff. Just get right on the plane and go.
He's like every other anus in the world.
Remember we went to the Republican convention in a private plane? That was nice.
The only time I was ever on one.
It was nice to just go to an airport.
No, it was great.
Get on the plane and fly away.
One flight, I was sold. It's like, yeah, I could live like this for the rest of my life.
There in a few hours, I was like, oh, yeah, I could live like this.
I'd be traveling every weekend. This is great. Instead, now that we're scheduling vacations again, there's a certain amount of dread about, you know, having to go to the airport.
Oh, exactly.
You know, I always have like a pit in my stomach the morning we wake up. It's like, what are we going to run into? What atrocity? What indignity? What hassle?
So the 325 metric tons that have been emitted from his trips compares to this. The typical passenger car emits about 4.6 metric tons of carbon dioxide a year. So think about that. That an entire year you drive in your car, 4.6 metric tons. Since he's been the climate envoy for Biden, 325 metric tons.
Because none of them really care. And none of the stuff they're doing is lowering the temperature anyway.
He's on his way to another Petersburg climate dialogue meeting this week.
Of course.
And man, in Germany.
They stay in great hotels. And they drink really tasty cognac late at night.
Cognac.
It's good food. It's good drink. It's a $300 bottle wine. They sit on thrones. They have young, half-naked women feeding them grapes.
They exchange stories of days of yore.
Yeah. And that's how they look at themselves. They look at themselves as special. You know, John Kerry is a dud, but he graduated from the Ivy League. So, and then he marries one of the richest women in the country.
They asked one of the climate people, Daniel Turner, executive director of Power of the Future. He said, at what point will John Kerry and all the world leaders who care about climate change just jump on a Zoom call?
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't emit much carbon, does it?
No. Zoom call, again, is for the little people.
All right, coming up next.
You peasants, go on Zoom.
Attack survivor Irene Lee has agreed to talk to us. She was, at the time she was attacked, the deputy DA in the L.A. County District Attorney's Office. She now works at the L.A. County Council. She was attacked by the same man who attacked the Olympian Kim Glass. Coming up next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark is off today. Mark Ronner has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
to the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol Jean.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.